opportunity that we have today to come before your throne. We thank you for your goodness and mercy, O Lord. Your word is eternal. It is absolute. And we thank you, Father, that today you will share your word by your Spirit to us. I ask you, Father, for utterance to speak your word today, that it will be pleasing to you. And I ask you, Father, to open the ears of our understanding, that we may hear a still small voice within us, Lord, that guides and teaches, encourages, and lifts up. Father, I thank you that in each of us that's born again, you have placed your own presence by your Spirit, that we can know you, that we can know your ways, and that we can understand your path as you teach us. We're so thankful, Father. And we pray today for a hearing ear and a seeing eye. And we give you praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen. I like my shouting shirt. I almost didn't wear it, but it made a statement. So I'm here. Praise the Lord. Well, today I apologize. There's no overhead. I didn't know I was going to do this till yesterday about 11 o'clock. And frankly, I ran out of time. But anyways... We got Bibles in front of you there if you want to follow along. The King James is just about like the Amplified. It's really close if you take the amplifications out. Either way, I'll read it. Today we're going to talk about something that we've all dealt with at one time in our life. And if you haven't dealt with it, you're probably dead. But I know that if you're in this life or have lived or are living or will live, you will deal with it at one time or another. Thing is fear. I don't know anybody that has not dealt with fear at one time or another. We need to know how to deal with it. It's a sad thing that most of us just accept it. I'm afraid here. And either I'll go charging into the situation with violence, or I will back up and hide. But we all face it in one time or another. The difference is how we face it. What we do when we face fear. Well, the word says, as we'll read the scripture later, but there is no fear in love. That's what the word says. There is no fear in love. And no matter what translation you go to, it puts it that way or similar. There's no fear in love. As long as we are part of this world, at one time or another, we're going to face it. I pray that we don't, but I know that we will. As a little testimony, I just, as you guys know here, I just faced a little bit of fear that I had to deal with. You know, I had a sudden, Father's Day was the last time I ministered here. And that very day, I was attacked with appendicitis. And it was a suddenly. And they come on suddenly, you know. Well, we all thought it was just to whack it out, sew it up, and you're done. But that's not the case. When the doctor sent me out there, I found out that my appendix is just a little bit different than most. For some reason, mine is, instead of hanging down, is bent up and is tucked in beside my bowels and probably has been attached to the bowels. So when the surgeon done the CT scan and they looked at it, they said that they could not operate on that safely because they had to take part of the bowels out to do it. And because it was already so swollen and so much infection in there, she didn't want to do that. So they started antibiotics. And naturally, Mother and I, we started with prayer. We confessed the word over that, believing that the word's working mightily in me. But anyways, they started this. So I was on antibiotics for 10 days. Actually, 5 days, and I started working about half. It's kind of shielded and covered and insulated. So it started working, and praise God, I still got my appendix. Praise God, it worked. The word worked. And the 10 days on antibiotics, well, I had an opportunity to be afraid or to fear when they said I can't take it out. If I do, it's... But it's amazing when you know the Father and you set your love upon Him, how rest comes in. And you can have that rest no matter what you're facing in your life. But I had a rest. Now, I had to maintain that rest, but I had a rest because the opportunity was there to fear. And then when I got out and things started moving along, it still bothers me a little, but it's in process. But anyways, we found out what the bill was. Well, at first, we didn't find out what the bill was. We just got this letter from our insurance company said that it was the whole entire thing was denied. Well, you wind up with 5 days in the hospital, have a heart monitor, because my heart beats backwards. That's why I'm backwards. Anyways, it beats backwards. And I got a little AFib, so that added to the case. So they had a heart monitor there, and they had all this other stuff, and I think 5 or 6 doctors came in there, and it was just all kinds of IVs and everything. So I was there for 5 days, and that's pretty high room and board. But anyways, afterward, they sent it off, and they come back and said they denied the whole thing because it was not necessary. Well, if they'd asked me, I would have told them it was necessary. But anyways, we're praying, believing, and believing the Lord and for his provision, because he always provides. I knew that he'd provide either way. So anyways, we got a letter last weekend that said they paid the entire bill, $45,000. Amen. Hallelujah. That's what I did. Hallelujah. But I was expecting half, because originally they told me that it was out of network, but it wasn't. So they paid all $45,000 with the exception of $1,425, which was copay and deductible. And I'm still praising God for that. But I had an opportunity. The reason I brought it up is to show you how fear works. Because I set my love upon the Father a long time ago. I know his hand was working. And I had a rest on that. And I had a wife encouraging me when I started sliding a little bit. Praise God for helpmates, especially those that know God. And between the two of us and others that prayed, God worked a miracle in the health and is still working it. And he worked a miracle in the finances. Now, we are tithers, and that unlocks his provision. So we tithe, and we believe that. We believe it for his provision, and he provides. Thank God. Thank God. But all of us at one time or another have had or will, my camera's on, have had or will have capacity to fear. And it's how we respond to that fear that makes all the difference. How do I respond when the opportunity comes to fear? When the opportunity comes to fear, and we'll all have one, we have to resist that fear. We have to resist fear, and we have to resist worry. Now, if you're not born again, you're going to have difficulty doing that. But if you're born again, you have love inside, authority to resist it. If you type in and search in the Bible, fear not or fret not, you'll find it's from cover to cover. And actually, the way it's spoken is it's a commandment. Fear not. It's not a suggestion. It doesn't say fear when you are uncomfortable or when this thing happens. You can fear here, but not here. It's a commandment. Fear not. Don't fear. And I have to take that as a commandment. Now, I may not know how not to do that because fear is an emotion. It affects our emotions. Well, then I got to get into the Word and find out. What is opposite of fear? Well, it's faith. Faith and fear are opposites. Light and darkness are opposites. God did not create fear. He's not the author of fear. He did not give us fear. God is love. 1 John 4:7-8 and 1 John 4:16 clearly states God is love. The being love. Well, there's no fear in God. How can he give you something he doesn't have? You know, before Satan had his fall in heaven, fear didn't exist. Didn't exist because everything was love until he come along and decided what he tried to do, what he did. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, and you're familiar with this. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. What has God given us then? He's given us power by His Spirit, by the indwelling Spirit. And if you're born again, that power is there. You may not be exercising it. You may not know it. You may do the opposite and go ahead and walk in fear, but the power to resist it is inside you. It's in the Word of God, and you can anchor yourself into it. That's what He's given you. When you got born again, instantly that power came into you. He merged His Spirit with your spirit. You're one with His Spirit. Then He gave us, He has not given us a spirit of fear. That comes from Satan. He's the author of that. But of power and of love. A spirit of love, not a spirit of fear. And I like this one, a sound mind. How many of us are struggling with our mind because of fear and worry and anxiety and the past and all these other things? God did not give that to you. If you're born again and genuinely received Him as your Lord and Savior, He gave you a sound mind. You're just exercising fear and worry in your life, so you're building it. You don't realize you yourself are building that fear and worry and that anxiety. But you're doing it because you're exercising it. But the Word says He did not give that to you. So what do? You get into the Word and you renew your mind. You have to resist. You have to get in the Word and anchor your mind and heart in that Word and realize there is no fear in love. Why? Because they're direct opposites. They cannot cooperate with one another. They cannot work together. You're either walking in fear and worry or you're walking in faith and love. And every opportunity that comes your way to fear is another opportunity to fear. It's also another opportunity to walk in love and faith. But you have to make that decision and you have to act on it. Then God can pour out through, in, and upon you, and you can walk through that problem and issue of life, no matter what it is. You can walk through it in peace and rest with God. You can do that because He gave you that authority and power to do that. But I can't do it for you. Your wife can't do it for you. Your son or daughter can't do it for you. They can help you, but they can't do it for you. You are going to have to make your own decision. I'm going to walk in love. That's why the love walk, a constant, continuous, every moment of every day choice to walk in love, is so powerful in your life, because when those opportunities to fear come along, you're going to automatically turn to love. How many of us have heard, and I know we all have, testimonies where somebody has murdered somebody, a family member or something, and those people loved anyways. They went to the jail, and instead of being angry and upset and revengeful, they loved those people, and those people got saved. They'll have a change in their life because of the love this person had and walked in. You can't do that by just choosing to do it on a moment's notice. It has to be something that you have made a choice in your life to walk in. I choose the love walk in my now moment. Every now moment of my life, I remake that, make a choice again. Then when the opportunity to fear comes along, you have already built that up in your heart and life. And Satan has a very hard time getting you to fear. Fear is carnal. It's based in the natural. It's a spiritual force, but it operates in the natural. Love is beyond that. Love is God. It's a spiritual force. And it operates in the spirit, which is a higher law than the natural. So, I know that the Bible says, and it talks about fearing God. And there's a lot of mistakes on that. It's really, even in the dictionary, says it differently. We think we have to be afraid of God. And that's not what he's talking about. Even in the natural, even in this everyday world, if you go to the dictionary, You'll find, and I got Merriam-Webster's here, but the other dictionaries bear that out. Here's the definition for fear. An unpleasant, often strong emotion caused by anticipation of or awareness of danger. An anxious concern, a reason for alarm, a profound reverence and awe, especially of God. Now that's natural man putting that definition in there. That's not just the Bible definition. But the Amplified, every time it talks about fearing God, it says reverential fear. There's a difference. It means you put God who he is. You reverence that. You acknowledge who he is. And if you're not born again, well, you should fear God. But that's not a problem. Get born again and you won't have to fear God. You know, a being, and it ought to make sense to us, a being that is love. And God is love. He's the being, the only one that is. He is love. Do you think the being love wants you afraid of him? No, you'll never come to him. He wants you to come to him. He's opened the door by the cross. He wants the hurting, the lame, the sick, the rejected, the murderers, all of those. He wants them to come to him. There's no reason to be afraid of God. But now Satan wants you afraid. Because why? Whether you're born again or not, if you're functioning in fear, you won't go to God. And what happens then? You stay carnal. And he's able to function. You'll ask God to get you out of it, but you're still functioning in fear, and he has a hard time working around that because you're making that choice. This is so important for us. But if we're walking in love habitually, we'll recognize those tactics when they come. And it is deception. Fear, worry, deception, and strife are Satan's big guns. They're his big guns, his big weapons. They're the one he uses almost every time he does something. They're almost always involved. Fear, worry, deception, and strife. Why strife? Because there's confusion and every evil work there. He wants you to be so wrapped up in fear, worry, and his other deceptions, and strife, no matter what kind of strife it is, then you'll stay carnally minded. You'll stay worldly, fleshly minded. And all the time you have victory over that. You'll stay there. And what happens is it keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. Why? Because you are exercising it. You're developing it like you develop your muscles. He knows that. And he knows that fear, worry, deception, and strife separate. They never draw together. Love always draws together. Always. When the Bible talks about fear, remember, it's talking about reverence towards God, but fear towards the enemy. There is a place, and there is something like 169, I believe, I found in the King James alone, in reference to fear not. We have to resist it. That's why God made it a commandment, so that we would. It's so sad, again, spirit-filled, Bible-believing, tongue-talking people allow fear to function. And we don't realize we're doing it. It happens in little small ways that we wouldn't even identify as fear. But it is, and that's where it starts at. Fear will separate you from hearing God. It will put a block there where you're not able to hear him. And all the time, that little seed is planted, and you'll go on down the road exercising that. No matter how big it is or how small it is, you'll keep exercising that, and all the time, that hedge between you and God is developing. You don't want a hedge between you and God. You want it between you and Satan. That's where you want that hedge at. But in order to do that, you know, I'm not going to get done with this. I know that. There'll be a part two. But anyways, as you look through the Bible, you find all kinds of references where people functioned in fear. Normally there's a fear not there, where you see that, but there's all kinds of references to people who had to exit or make a stand operating in fear. Jesus talked about it a lot. He commanded not to fear not several times. Fear not, little flock. You know, it's all kinds of references. The one I brought out for reference here in our study today is one of my favorite characters is David. And it's one, there's two references we're going to use here, Psalm 56 and 1 Samuel 21. In 1 Samuel 21, we find the story where David is running from Saul, and he goes to a priest because it's just him. He has no weapons or anything, and this priest gives him food, and well, actually, he just eats the showbread, which he's not supposed to. He doesn't have a weapon, so he's already killed Goliath. This is after he killed Goliath, and he takes that. The priest gives him the sword of Goliath because he had it there wrapped up. So David takes that sword, and where does he go? He goes to Gath. Now, most of us read that story. We know Gath was the home of Goliath. Those were the Philistines that David faced when he slew Goliath. So David must have had a gigantic fear in order to go to his very enemy, to the one that had the most to get revenge on him with. And to go carrying Goliath's sword, he goes to Gath, to the king, King Achish, I guess it is. He goes there, and he has to pretend, in order to live, he has to pretend to be insane. Now, I would think that it would be a height of fear to have to pretend to be insane in order to live. I'm going to read it, 1 Samuel 21, verse 10. This New King James. Then David arose and fled that day when he got the sword. That day before Saul, and went to Achish, king of Gath. And the servants of Achish said to him, "Is this not David, the king of the land? Did they not sing of him to one another in dances, saying, 'Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s'?" Who was that song about? That song was about the very Philistines where he ran to. So they were not, it was not just, "Hey, isn't this that guy?" They were upset. They were mad. They were seeking revenge against this guy. Verse 12, now David took these words to heart. You would too. Now David took these words to heart and was very much afraid of Achish, the king of Gath. So he changed his behavior before them, pretended madness in their hands, scratched on the doors of the gate, and let saliva fall down on his beard. Now that's fear working in David. Then Achish said to his servants, "Look, you see this man?" So they brought him before the king. "Look, you see this man is insane. Why have you brought him to me? Have I need of madmen that you have brought this fellow to play the madman in my presence? Shall this fellow come into my house?" So he didn't say he was going to kill him, and he would have otherwise. He was a major enemy. But here, to preserve his life, David pretended to be insane. For one thing, just going there was a major issue. I would not have went there, I don't think. Psalm 56, according to the heading in my Bible, is a record of the memorial thoughts when the Philistines seized him at Gath. I'm just going to take part of it because it shows David's attitude even while he was pretending to be insane. Psalm 56, verse 3, this Amplified classic. "What time I am afraid." So he acknowledged the fact that he's going to fear. We should too. We're going to do that. "What time I am afraid, I will have confidence in and put my trust and reliance in you. By the help of God, I will praise his word. On God I lean, rely, and confidently put my trust. I will not fear. What can man who is flesh do to me? Further down in the same psalm in verse 10, in God whose word I praise, in the Lord whose word I praise, in God have I put my trust in confident reliance. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? See his attitude? Right in the middle of the very worst place he could possibly be, he was declaring that he will not fear. He voiced it. He declared it. But when did he voice it? He voiced it after he declared to his father. All the way through David's Psalms, you'll find that he acknowledges the problems he's in, and some of them are pretty bad. But he always comes back with a, but you, O Lord. Do you do that? Do I do that when I have problems and issues in life? How do I respond to my times of fear? Do I acknowledge his greatness? Have I set my love upon him? And when I mean set, your love, it's a continuous, constant thing. You have made it your lifestyle to love God. And if you love him, how can we set our faith on fear? And that's what we do when we walk in fear. We set our faith on it. We are having faith in the wrong thing. We got to be so careful with that. We can never apply our faith to fear. We apply it to the word. And we set our love upon God. And I don't care what fear you're going through, what trouble you're going through, whether it's family, friends, money, health. Maybe they told you you're going to die tomorrow. It doesn't matter what it is. You walk in love and faith. And watch how God delivers you from that. For one thing, when you walk in love, you authorize him to move. And if you walk in fear, you're authorizing Satan. And I don't know anybody that knows God, that genuinely is born again, that wants Satan to work in their lives. You don't want that. Don't open the door. All fear is self-centered, and you need to remember that. All fear is self-centered. That's why you fear. You're thinking about self. It always focuses on self. Love is other-centered. It always focuses on others. It's amazing when you focus right in the middle of the storm of your life, when you focus on doing something for somebody else because you love God, and you do it out of love. You do it because you love. It's amazing how many times the problems that you're facing are just dealt with. And you won't know how they got dealt with, but you know it was God. You'll know it was God. He'll leave enough there for you to know that it was him doing it. But your focus was not on the problem. Your focus was on God and others. Whenever our focus is on ourselves rather than others, we have the foundation necessary to produce iniquity and sin. That foundation of iniquity and sin opens the door for fear to function and rule. They're all related. If I make a choice to constantly walk in disobedience to God, I'm carnally minded. And if I am, I'm thinking of one person, me. And if I do that, I'm opening the door for fear and worry and depression and strife to function in my life. I open that door. I can call it an attack if I want to, but either way, even if it is an attack, what's the answer to the attack? Love. No matter what the attack is, I focus on my love for God and on his word, not on the attack. It works by love. It can't work any other way of it. That's the only way it works. That's why our love walk is so absolutely, totally imperative that we walk it. If I choose the others, I open the door. And if you were Satan, what would you do? You came in. So what do we have to do then? We have to put our hedge up. Guard our hearts above all that we guard, it says in Proverbs 4. Above all that we guard. We guard it because it's of great value. And it's a value not only to you and I, but it's a value to God. It's a treasure to Him. Our hearts and our heart condition is a treasure to God. Isn't that awesome? I am of value, no matter who I am. I'm of value to my loving Father. And He's done everything He possibly can to put me in a place where I can walk in love and not fear. When we truly grant our trust to God and set our love upon God and His living word, worry and fear are dealt with. You know, you can't in and of yourself deal with fear and worry. It's there. You can't white knuckle your way through that. What do I mean by white knuckling? Force your way through it. To some degree, you may have a little bit of success, but you're going to fail. Because in our natural carnal ability, we can't handle that. We're going to fail. It's just a matter of time. But if I will rest in God and set my love upon Him, spend my time in His living word, and allow that to govern my life, I will walk through the same problems and issues, but I'll walk through in peace and rest, similar to Psalm 23. I will walk and rest with my God. I'll still have to make decisions. I'll still have to do things. But He's teaching me how to choose. He's pointing out things to do and not do. They may not make sense, but He's pointing out the path for me because He loves me. And then what's authorized to work? All those angels that we forget are there. They're there, and they're working. And the Holy Spirit's guiding. And He's granting favor wherever I go. It says that even our enemies, will be at peace with us when we walk with God. Isn't that awesome? But if we're not walking with God, the opposite is true. Love and fear cannot exist together. I need to know that. You cannot force them together. You can't put them together. They will not fit. Have you ever tried to make something fit that don't fit? I have. I can give you a couple of stories. They are direct opposites. That's why the word says there is no fear in love. Fear cannot exist in love. To the degree that I'm walking in love, to that degree, fear is not functioning. Wherever fear is functioning, I'm allowing it to. Wherever I'm allowing it to function, that's my limit of my love walk. They cannot work together. The goal that we all should have is to be so deep in love with God and each other and the Word that fear can't even get its ugly head in. It has no, it can't get there. I didn't say it wouldn't try. It will try. But when I'm walking with God, I got that force field there. It's hitting up against that shield of faith because, as Eldon said, my faith is working because I'm walking in love. Love and fear cannot exist together. They are direct opposites. There is no fear in love. We are the ones who decide whether love or fear is in operation in our lives. Being love-minded is spiritually minded. Being fear-minded is carnally minded. And Romans 8:6 bears that out. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. I mentioned the problems and issues you're walking through. Well, the reason you're walking through them in peace is because you're spiritually minded. You cannot be spiritually minded and walk in fear. You can only be spiritually minded and walk in love. Worry is hope in reverse. So you have no expectation. You're worrying because you're expecting the problem to develop. That's why you worry about it. You're setting your thoughts on that issue. So you are applying worry. And what's happening? You're developing your own problem and you don't know you're doing it. But when you function in love, hope works. And hope is expectation. I'm expecting the word to work. Yes, ma'am. Yeah, it's the opposite. Or it's the opposite. It functions with the same laws, but it's the opposite. Yeah. Yeah. And fear is the same thing. Fear is the opposite of faith. So we can walk in love because we are love creatures. We are created by and born again by love himself. Everyone sitting here that knows Jesus Christ is Lord, you are created by and born again by love himself, God himself. Now, if you're not born again, you're created by love, but you don't know him. There's no relationship with him because of the fall. You must be born again in order to function in the love that God has for you. 1 John 4:15. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, I love this, God abides in him and he in God. When did I do that? I got born again. I confessed him as my Lord and Savior. Not just a bunch of words somebody told me to do, but I wanted this. I may not know what I'm doing, but I want him. I want my life changed. I'm making a decision today that Jesus is Lord of my life. That person got instantly born again. Because of that, God abides in you and you in him. The Amplified talks about the union and the communion with God. When you get born again, there's that merging together and you get born again and there's a union and communion. That's why love flows in you. That's why it's resident. And that's why we can walk in it. Verse 16, and we have known and believed the love that God has for us. Do you believe it? I believe that love that God has for me. And we have known and believed that God, verse 16, and we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love. And he who abides in love abides in God and God in him. We live together. We abide together. That means we take up residence there. We're habitually living and abiding with him. That's why love flows and works. And why it's so sad when we allow fear and worry to work. Because we don't have to. In verse 17, love has been perfected among us in this. That, or what I just got done saying, in that union and communion, love has been perfected because it's his perfection, not ours. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because, my favorites, as he is, so are we in this world. What happened? Why can he say that? Why can John bring that up? It's because of that union and communion together with him. Because we are one. God made us one. I received him as Lord, so we're one. Because of that, as he is, so are we in this world. Whatever the ways of God are, and there's numerous, I've done a study on them, like 27 I come up with, and there's more. You go through the Bible, the ways of God. Whatever his ways are, that's the way we're supposed to be. That's what happens when we walk in love. We're walking in love because we love him, so our ways become his ways. And because of that, fear and worry can't exist there. We're walking in his mercy and grace. There in verse 18, after he says in verse 17, as he is, so are we in this world, John, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. The Amplified says it cast it out of doors, out away from us, because it cannot exist together. I am born of love, by love, to love. And because of that, fear and worry have no place unless I allow it. I have, my power of choice has not been removed from me. I can choose to walk in fear and worry, deception and strife. I can allow strife in my home. I have a right to do that. And if I do, then the love doesn't work. But I have the right to do that, even though I'm born again. Still got a little time here. We do not have to allow fear to rule in our lives. God Himself has given us the right to choose love and faith or fear and worry. My choice. I set before you today life and death, blessing and curse. He set it before us. Now, He's not the author, of course, of a curse. He's not the author of death. What He's saying is, I'm allowing you to choose. You choose. I will back up your choice. That's what God is saying. I will back up whatever you choose. You have the right to choose it. You can choose Jesus Christ as Lord if you want to, or you can choose to walk with Satan in the world, even if you don't believe in him. And I was thinking some time back, there are several absolutes in life. You know what an absolute is? It's something that cannot be changed. It's an absolute. No matter what you do, you can't change it. One of those absolutes is Jesus Christ is Lord. Now, it doesn't matter whether it matters, but it doesn't change anything as far as that's concerned, whether I believe it or not. He's still Lord. My believing it or not believing it does not change His position. I need to know that. It doesn't matter what religion I go to, they're not going to lead me to Jesus other than being born again. I started to say Christianity, but not everybody in Christianity calls themselves Christian or really born again. So the genuine Christians, those that are know Him as Lord and Savior. But I don't change His position by what I do. He is Lord. Eternally, forever. God is God, whether I believe it or not. He's God. And God is love, whether I believe He's full of wrath or not. He's still love. It doesn't change anything other than where I'm concerned. And we need to know that. That's what we have to bring to people that don't know Him. They need to know they don't have to walk in fear and worry, judgmentalism, and the curses of this life. They don't have to live there because the price has been paid. And it's been paid whether I believe it or not. It's absolute. That cross is absolute. The living word is absolute. I can't change it. Whether I can change the words in the book, I won't tell you which one it is. You can search it out for yourself. But there's some major Bibles that have removed a lot of verses. And that doesn't change the verse. I can hide all the Bibles. I can burn them all. I can see to it that there's no reference in the earth at all to the Word of God. But it still won't change it. Because it's absolute. When I read my Bible and I see I don't have to walk in fear and worry, do I see that as an absolute? Do I see the fact that I can walk in love and fear has no place there? Do I believe I didn't write any of this? Do I believe it? Is it an absolute where I'm concerned? I can tell you what, signs, miracles, and wonders will start happening in the churches, in our own personal lives. When we get to the place where we believe God's word is absolute. When I do that, things change where I'm concerned. If I don't believe that, things change where I'm concerned. Hallelujah. When I grant my trust to God and set my love upon Him, He will always have a way out of trouble for me. Always. He is my refuge. And I love this particular verse. That's why I said that. Because I need to know that no matter what the problem is, He has a way for me. He is the way. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13 in the Amplified Classic. You've got to see it. You've got to have the Amplified on this one. So listen to how I read it. Or no, I'll read it kind of slow. For no temptation, no trial. How many? No, none. No trial regarded as enticing to sin, no matter how it comes or where it leads, and laid hold on you that is not common to man. That is, no temptation or trial has come to you that is beyond human resistance, and that is not adjusted and adapted and belonging to human experience, and such as man can bear. But God is faithful. God is faithful to His word and to His compassionate nature. And He can be trusted not to let you be tempted or tried or assayed beyond your ability and strength of resistance and power to endure. But with the temptation, now again, He didn't send the temptation. You're going through it. He didn't send it. But with the temptation, He will always also provide the way out, the means of escape to a landing place, that you may be capable and strong and powerful to bear up under it patiently. That's what God provided. He didn't say that He wouldn't, that troubles wouldn't be there. What He said is, I'm going to take you to a landing place. What's a landing place? That's as far as you're going. You've landed. You may be fallen, but there's a landing place. And you're not going to be killed when you land. That angel's going to lower you down real slow. Amen. But that's our God. He's already provided that for us. If we walk the love walk, we can walk in confidence that no matter what we're going through, no matter where it comes from, no matter how it came or where it's going, He's taking care of us, and there is a landing place. I will tell you this also. If you walk in fear, you are extending your problem. You are building it, causing it to grow. Fear and worry does, extending the time frame for it. If you walk in love, you're going to walk through the same problem. But you're going to walk through it in peace, shortening the duration of it. Because you're not building it. Satan's not using you to build his problem, to build your problem. You are using the Word of God to reduce its time frame. So you actually shorten the circumstance that you're walking through because of love. You decide how long you want that problem to exist. You do that. God doesn't, He does not choose how long it is. We think He does, but He doesn't. I choose that by my own response to the problem. I can shorten the duration of the issues and problems in my life by walking in love and rest and peace with God. I can choose that. I don't want my problems to continue to grow. I don't want that. I want them to be short or non-existent. The other neat thing is, if I'm walking in love, He's teaching me how to choose. He's my shepherd and guide. So what's He doing? He knows what lies ahead. He's taking me around everything that He can. There's some that I'm going to have to walk through, but others, they never get to me because He's leading me around them. Around them, they never get to me. You know, fear builds problems. Fear builds disease and sickness. Fear builds paralysis where I can't move. Fear builds revenge. But love doesn't. And when I walk in those things, I'm extending my time. You know, and I don't want that. I don't know of anybody that really does. Almost done here. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8, Amplified Classic again. And it goes along with the last one that He's leading us through this and will take us to a landing place. Verse 8 of chapter 1 of 1 Corinthians. And He will, stop on the word will. There's words like shall and will that are so vital in the verse. Will is an absolute. Shall is an absolute. So when I read the word will, I need to remember that what is about to be said is an absolute. Okay? And he will establish you to the end. Keep you steadfast, give you strength, and guarantee your vindication. He will be your warrant against all accusation or indictment, so that you will be guiltless and irreproachable in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is faithful, reliable, trustworthy, and therefore ever true to his promise. And he can be depended on. By him, you were called into companionship and participation with his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. He called us to that. Are we responding to it? You can be called but not respond. God has called all mankind. He wills that no one be lost, but not everyone will respond. He's calling us all, even born again, to walk in love, because it's absolutely vital, especially in the time we're living in now. But he's not going to make us do it. He's called us to that. He's made provision. But are we going to do it? That's up to us. Forget what happened in the past. It is affecting you right now to some degree. But your past is in the rock of time. You can't change it. But you can change your now, and you can, with your now, change your future. If you haven't been walking in love, don't be down on yourself or anybody else. It's not anybody else's fault, no matter what we think. Well, if he hadn't done this, I'd have walked in love. Can't blame him. The only one you can blame is yourself. You're not walking in love. You didn't choose to do the loving thing at the time. But that's past. You choose to do the loving thing now. When you go home and somebody yells at you, or they didn't do what you wanted them to do, or they walk out and swear and never come back, you still love them. You love them. That's your choice. And if you will do that right now, in your now moment, the one you're existing in, it will change your future moments. But if you don't do it, you're still changing your future moments, but for the negative. So in our own hands, our hands is our future. God has given it to us. And he has said, walk in love. That develops the future that's pleasing to God. No matter what happens around you, you're walking with God. And that's so vital. So vital. Love must be exercised to be developed. Fear also develops as it is exercised. I'm going to take just a minute. I'm almost done. Worry and fretting develops fear. Worry and fretting, which is the same basic thing. Worry and fret develop fear. It always leads to fear. Worry always goes to fear. What are you worried about? Bills, your family? Don't. Well, if you knew where my kids were, what they've done, don't worry about that. They're in God's hands. Great is the peace of your children, for they are taught of the Lord. His righteousness is unto his children's children. When you walk right with God, there's a hedge over your children, even though you don't know it. They're there. It's there. God is leading them, guiding them, putting things in their path. They, when they grow old, they will not depart from it. If you've taught them the way, if you haven't taught them the way, it's not too late. But if you walk right with God, God's busy teaching them his way. They'll encounter him. So, love must be developed, exercised and developed. Fear also develops as it is exercised. Worry or fretting develops fear. What does it mean to fret? The word says, especially in Psalm 37, first few verses, it says it three times, fret not. And there's all other places in Philippians, fret not. That's a commandment. Fret, the verb, is to be constantly or visibly worried or anxious. The synonyms for fretting is worry, anxious, feel uneasy, be distressed, be upset, upset oneself, concern oneself, feel unhappy, agonized, anguish, sorrow, sigh, pine, brood, mope, fuss, make a fuss, complain, grumble, whine, eat one's heart out, stew, feel peeved. Have you ever done any of those things? Well, then you fretted. So what do we have to do? We have to guard ourselves against those things. And don't expect me to remember. I have to see it to remind it. Say that. Philippians, I'm about done, I promise, folks. Philippians 4:6. Do not fret. Period. Do not fret or have anxiety about anything. And that covers the whole entire spectrum of your life. But in every circumstance and in everything, by prayer and petition, definite request, with thanksgiving, notice the thanksgiving, with thanksgiving, continue to make your wants known to God, and God's peace shall be yours. That tranquil state of a soul assured of its salvation through Christ, and so fearing nothing from God, and being content with its earthly lot, whatever the sort that is, that peace, which transcends all understanding, shall garrison and now guard over your minds, hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So fret not. I got some more here, a whole bunch more scriptures, and they're dealing with fret. And I might do a fret one of these days. Might guard against. But anyways, analyze how you respond to the things in life. And remember, there is no fear in love. It does not exist. So if I'm functioning in fear and worry, I'm not walking in love, no matter how much I think I am. I can do nice things here and kind things over there and think I'm walking in love, and all the time being in fretting and worrying about things, I'm not walking in love. But what I am doing may even be effective, but it's still not in love because of what I'm doing over here. Well, they're not connected. Yes, they are. Because you're walking in worry and fretting over here, you can't hear God over here the way you should. It hinders the anointing over here where you are doing something. I'm not saying don't do those good things. I'm saying deal with the fretting and the worry and see how what you're doing over here in love actually grows and blooms and blossoms and becomes more effective because you're not walking in fear and worry over here. We have to guard ourselves, and we need to help each other do that. When we find that we're fretting and worrying about something, apply the same effort that you're applying to worry and fear, apply it to hope and faith. Get your word out. Find out what it says. If you don't know, ask the Holy Spirit who lives in you to teach you. But get into the Word. Search out love, search out fear, search out worry, and spend some time with God. Listen to the Word. Do whatever you can do. But resist fear and worry, depression, and strife. Father, we thank you for this Word that you've given us today. We thank you. Oh, Lord, we've heard this word. Maybe it passed over some of us. Maybe we just heard parts of it. But, Lord, our spirit received it. And I'm asking you, Lord, that by your spirit, you reveal to us as we walk through those circumstances and situations of life, that where we would habitually respond a certain way with fretting and worrying, that you place a guard on our hearts and on our lives in such a way that we can recognize the trap that is being laid for us. That we can choose love and faith and choose your word, that we can resist that. Thank you for bringing it up to us. Thank you for the ministry of your angels, for the word of God, for the ministry of the Holy Spirit, who is our teacher and our guide and the one who brings forth revelation. And I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.